This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, however you found us on this sunny Thursday afternoon here in the Northeast. We're glad you did. I'm Randy Scott. Neither one of us is Barton Hahn. I'm Randy Scott here in Bristol. That's Mike Wells in Indianapolis. Going to be talking this hour. Talk some football, talk some baseball. We got some, our NFL two-a-days are continuing. But we got to start, Mike Wells, as we're presented by Progressive Insurance here on ESPN Radio. We've got to start with just some good old-fashioned he said, he said. You know, Twitter beef. He said, this, you know, playground conversation in the year 2022. So it happens, the playground now is the world, because it happens on social media. And one of the slipperiest dudes in the NFL, an MVP, a literal MVP, Lamar Jackson, has to defend his bona fides against a guy who doesn't even play anymore. But a guy who did, so it matters a little bit more. Why don't we? How do you want to do this, Mike? Do you want to talk about it first, or should we just dial up what Bernard Pollard and Lamar Jackson went back and forth on Twitter?
I think we should just go ahead and dial it up. But before that, you made a mention about, you know, good old fashioned Twitter beefs and going back and forth arguing. I know when you and I were growing up, if you had a problem with somebody, you say, "Hey, meet me on the playground after school," or Meet me, you know, in the hallway, by the lockers, after in between classes, and we'll settle it face to face. Now, Lamar Jackson and Bernard Pollard said, "Hey, meet me on Twitter at 9:25 p.m. and we gonna go ahead and go back and forth. I'll see you on the tweet deck, and we gonna take care of things right now."
On the tweet deck, it is. It's almost like you know, remember at the height of the quarantine and the pandemic. Remember when Versus really launched?
Oh yeah,
and it was like, we got Jadakiss against blah blah. You know what I mean? Like whichever ones. And it's kind of what it is. It's like, all right, tonight it is. It's that Kevin Hart bit. It's going. It's about to go down. So it was Bernard Pollard who was talking about Lamar Jackson to someone else. And Pollard said no top wide receiver will ever come there, talking about Baltimore, while LJ is there. Plenty of wide receivers have been available to get in the offseason while LJ has been starting, but nobody wants to go. They give him the respect, but they don't want to play with him. LJ is good, but he's not able to make the throws. So Lamar himself chimes in and says, "You've been capping since I've been playing for the Ravens. I never heard of you, to be honest, my boy. You got your Super Bowl because of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed that year." Pollard, I give Pollard credit for his response, because he goes, he laughs emoji and goes, "Facts are facts. Make sure you call me champ. Good luck getting one." All right? Exclamation point, though. That's what you do on social media. Put an exclamation point when you want to soften the blow. So he goes, "Good luck getting one." And I know you're hearing Bernard Pollard soften the blow, and it sounds like an oxymoron considering how the man played. And Lamar goes full emojis. He goes, "Never." Bunch of laugh emojis. "Nobody speaks of you." Bunch of emojis. "I had to Google you, little brah." Bunch of emojis. "I never heard of you until I seen you keep dissing like you was a Hall of Famer, but you are far from it. Across the ocean, like overseas." And he's laughing, laughing, laughing. And it devolved. I don't know if we want to read it. It just devolved from there. Some of this you probably can't even say. Yeah, can't say that. Can't say this other stuff. I will say this. Bernard Pollard, sunglasses emoji, goes, "I get to sit back and watch some of the stuff I used to do. #HitStick. And it's a collegiate highlight of Bernard Pollard at Purdue, and it's 6 seconds long. And Lamar Jackson flamed him with a bunch of laughter emojis and said, "Bro," he goes, "bro, got a 6 second college highlight. You're mad for real. I wish I played against you." Bunch of devil emojis. He goes, I would have thrown the ball to coach and ran straight at your sorry, you know what. And he goes, all caps, "Bernard," as though Bernard is not a worthy name of this discussion. So that was the back and forth. In case you're driving around, you're like,
wait,
beefing? Yes.
Wait. You left out my favorite one.
Do it. Read it.
I mean, my favorite one is when somebody posted Pollard in it looks like the Kansas City locker room doing a dance at an adult entertainment club where you drop dollar bills.
No.
And Lamar Jackson did what I like to do when people are messing with me. I retweeted with comment, and he says, "No," with six laughing emojis, and said, I even said anything to you, little bro. If you was my son, I would have potty tamed Joe Beep for playing with me like this.
So, oh, yes, no.
That is my favorite one of them all, because I mean, he's in the locker room in there, like, you know, reenacting something he had saw on his last freeze Friday or Saturday night when he was hanging out with the fellas making it rain.
Oh my gosh. I didn't see the dancing video. I didn't maybe, well, I saw a link to it on you. I didn't know if it was safety to open up. And now Lamar has absolutely destroyed him for this. Okay. So all that having been said, it was Bernard Pollard who came on Key, Jay, and Max on ESPN Radio today. And this was his response to the Twitter beef.
He's responded, and he wants to argue back as far as for his sake. And I'm cool with that. You can call, say, oh, nobody knew me. You had to Google me. I didn't go to the Hall of Fame. I don't care about the Hall of Fame.
No, Bernard.
What I did was I knocked suckers' heads off. That's exactly what I did. I don't care about no Hall of Fame. I don't care about getting no accolades from anybody. When we stepped on the football field, 31 was going to be in the place that he was supposed to be, and he was going to knock your head off. If you came in his spot or if I made contact with you by running to you, I'm trying to do whatever I can to knock you out. So I, as far as him... the personal attack, that's fine. He said he's going to run me over. Well, I'd have took his head off. I promise you he would not have finished the game.
I hear that, and I saw our friend James Steele come in, and he heard Bernard Pollard. It was almost like somebody put out a bat signal, and he came in, because when I think of Bernard Pollard, I think of him in a Chiefs uniform ending Tom Brady's season. That's what I think. That's the first thing that comes to mind, because it was the season after the record-breaking 16-0 regular season. You remember that week one at Arrowhead? Late hit, low hit, Tom Brady's done.
And that was the Matt Castle coming out party where he was able to step in. And I think what the Patriots finished 10-6, but missed the playoffs that season, if I'm not mistaken, in that situation. But the thing about it is, the thing that's been the most entertaining is that Lamar Jackson's personality hasn't been one to, like, get into it with people. Clearly, he was probably bored on his couch, relaxing, and decided to say, I'm going to provide entertainment and essentially shut down Bernard Pollard and his comments. Who doesn't care about the Hall of Fame? If I was even close to being talented, yes, I want to be a Hall of Fame. That means you're one of the best of all time if you're in the Hall of Fame. So I'm sorry, I'm not buying that notion that Bernard Pollard did not care about the Hall of Fame.
No, I think he cared about winning a ring. I think that's what you're out there for. Oh, you're out there to provide for yourself, provide for your family, and you're out there to win a championship. And anything beyond that, right, you are striving for greatness, to be sure. I want to make sure that my greatness is solidified. That game in 08, week one, not at Arrowhead. It was at Gillette Stadium. It was at Gillette Stadium where Tom Brady's ACL was torn by Bernard Pollard. And not the only hit that Pollard had low on the knees of a significant Patriot. I think he mixed it up with Rob Gronkowski as well later in his career when Pollard was in a different uniform. Let's hear more from Pollard. This was on, it's on KJM this morning. Talking about Lamar, and this was fascinating to me. The designation between being a top 10 talent, but not a top 10 quarterback.
Has he gotten better since day one of being there? Yes. Is he an inconsistent football player at the quarterback position? Yes. I truly believe he's a top 10 talent, but not a top 10 quarterback. I do agree he's gotten better, but when it's all said and done, I do not believe he's a consistent quarterback that's going to be able to take this team to the Super Bowl.
I have a hard time coming to 10 quarterbacks before I pick Lamar Jackson. How about you, Mike?
Yeah, I was a host, and you know, I was helping host Freddie and Fitzsimmons earlier this week, and we had a long discussion about that. I mean, top 10 quarterback, when you have Deshaun Watson on that top 10 list when he did not play a snap last season, you have Dak Prescott, who has not, you know, even sniffed anything close to an MVP in the top 10, but you do not have Lamar Jackson on that list, that's embarrassing. Lamar Jackson has single-handedly kept the Baltimore Ravens in the mix of everything with his arm and also with his feet. I saw it firsthand when he helped lead the Ravens from a 17-point deficit with about 15 minutes left in the game on Monday Night Football against the Colts last season, and all of a sudden he was in 99 man mode to lead them from that come-from-behind victory. So, yes, Lamar Jackson is a top-10 quarterback in the NFL.
99 Madden mode. All right, still ahead. Our two-a-days continue here on ESPN Radio with Mike Wells and Randy Scott, and for the guys on Bart and Hahn. Will a big quarterback trade make our next team a favorite in the AFC? We're going to talk about that after Mike tells you about Cheerios.
Ooh, one of my favorite cereals. If you're on the go, you might be skipping eating the healthy way, which is probably making you feel a bit more sluggish these days. Well, as a reminder, you can fuel life's special moments with health, with heart-healthy Honey Nut Cheerios made with whole grains and low in fat. Cheerios also provide 12 essential vitamins and minerals. So pour your heart into it today. It's oh, so important. Pick up a box of Honey Nut Cheerios today at your local grocery store.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is ESPN Radio's NFL Two-A-Days, the Indianapolis Colts.
Matt Ryan, I think he can still play at an extremely high level. They've got the running game. They've had the defense. They're well coached. I expect a lot out of this Colts team.
Although their offensive line isn't what it once was, it's still pretty good. They got maybe arguably one of the best 2 to 3 running backs in Jonathan Taylor, who I think is really underrated.
Go out, you get Stephon Gilmore and Ngakoue to rush the passer, and then bringing in Matt Ryan, who's an improvement at quarterback, I think they're the best team in the division.
I don't know whether that says more about the Colts or more about the division, but let's get to somebody who would know. And I don't know, this feels weird. ESPN Colts reporter, and it's not Mike Wells. It's Stephen Holder, who has Mike Wells' blessing. We're going to get to that as well. Stephen, thanks for joining us here on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. How about that first question? Mina Kimes has all the confidence in the world in the Colts as the best team in the division. Does that say more about Indianapolis, or does that say more about the division?
Well, let's not pretend this is a division of world beaters, okay? Let's be honest about what it is. It's a two-horse race. No pun intended, you know, when we're talking Colts. But it's the Colts and the Titans. I mean, the other two teams in the division, they are just trying to figure out who they are, what they are, where they're going. They have so much work to do that they are not, as we sit here today, realistically a factor in this race. So it's a two-team race, that's for sure, yes.
Well, first of all, I'm not even going to ask the next question about the Colts, Stephen. First off, welcome to ESPN. Welcome to the ESPN family. Randy, a little tidbit about my good friend Stephen. He and I have known each other for about 20 years now. Like myself, he covered the NBA. He had D. Wade and Shaq in Miami while I was covering the Pacers and the Timberwolves. So we have 20 plus years of friendship on it. You've been routinely on shows where my friends are on. I think it's kind of a deal. Say, hey, what you got?
It's 20 years of putting up with Mike Wells, what you should say, but that's okay. That's okay. I'm happy to do it.
You know, when the producers ask about certain teams, if I have a friend, I'm always referring my friend, and Randy Scott has been on when Mark Spears has been on with us, Holder, when Gary Washburn's been on with us. So yes, it is by coincidence that I'm having all my good friends when Randy and I are hosting shows together. See, so but let me I do have to ask you about Matt Ryan. You know, last year there was so much hype about Carson Wentz, you know, maybe being the next franchise quarterback. Frank Reich got his handpicked guy. That didn't work out clearly. What did you see out of Matt Ryan that stood out that says, okay, he can be a significant upgrade over the failed experiment of Carson Wentz last season?
Yeah, great question. I think it's the question, honestly. And for the Colts right now, there's two ways to look at this Matt Ryan acquisition. The one aspect that we know for sure is that he's an upgrade, and he's an upgrade not because necessarily he's more talented or this or that. He's an upgrade because I think he'll be a better decision maker. And I think at the end of the day, where Carson Wentz really failed was in the moments of truth, he didn't make the plays that the team needed. He couldn't rise to the occasion, and he couldn't make those critical decisions that could help the Colts rise above those situations. Now, here's the other perspective on Matt Ryan. The question, I guess, is can he be more than that? Can he be more than just a guy who makes good decisions, gets the ball to the right guy, and moves the chains? Can he be a guy who makes special plays? Maybe not at the level he used to or with the frequency that he used to, but can he be a guy who, when needed, can make a special play? If he can do that, and I don't know because I think that still has to be proven, if he can do that, now the Colts are in a much different realm in terms of the conversation for 2022. So I think the offseason provided an answer to that first part. We know he can distribute the ball. He can make good decisions. He's accurate as all get out. The question remains, what about that second part?
We're talking with Stephen Holder, our ESPN Colts reporter, here on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio with our outgoing ESPN Colts reporter, Mike Wells, and me, Randy Scott. Stephen, listen, he maybe doesn't have to be the Matt Ryan of old, certainly not the Matt Ryan of the NFL MVP season, because he has an all-world running back that he can tuck the ball into the stomach of in Jonathan Taylor. My question to you is about the overuse of Taylor. Like, what, you know, what sort of safeguards do you see the Colts implementing to protect a talented but overworked young running back a year ago?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and it's not a question the Colts wanted to be entertaining, because they never intended to use Jonathan Taylor at the level that they did. And I think this goes back to the quarterback issues. They didn't have that unmitigated trust in the quarterback at times last year. So what do? You go with the sure thing. And the sure thing was give the ball to number 28 because you know what he can do. So he's running into stacked tackle boxes that defensive coordinators are putting up against him. Pretty much, I guess, the last six or seven games of the season, he's running into stacked boxes the entire time. And he's still having 100-yard game after 100-yard game. So I think the Colts did it really just as a matter of survival, really just trying to get to the finish line and trying to figure it out while Carson Wentz worked through his issues. To be completely honest, they were taking the ball out of their quarterback's hands. Now, I think this is really a situation where they don't see the need to do that. Again, can Matt Ryan still be elite? I don't know, but I don't think that's necessarily going to be the determinant of the running backs touches this year. He's going to get some touches, obviously. He's going to have tons of touches. But at the end of the day, they have a quarterback they trust to make the right decision, and they won't have to default to handing the ball off 30 times a game. That was never the plan, and it's not the plan this year.
You know, I'm going to flip to the other side of the ball and talk about a subject that I think has not been talked about as much as it should because of the addition of Matt Ryan. The Colts had a wholesale change on defense. Gus Bradley comes in as the defensive coordinator, replacing Matt Eberflus, who's in Chicago as the head coach. They go out and get Yannick Ngakoue to play on one side of the ball to go with Kwity Paye at defensive end. DeForest Buckner in the middle. Stephon Gilmore, 2019 Defensive Player of the Year. But all-pro linebacker Darius Leonard had a procedure on his back in around minicamp time. How concerned are the Colts about their best defensive player being ready for training camp, and if this back issue is going to linger on into the regular season?
Well, they say they're not concerned, but hell, I'm concerned. I mean, at the end of the day, we don't have enough information. I understand what they were saying in terms of the nerve in the back infecting his lower body, and I understand the connections there and all that. At the end of the day, though, we are still in a situation where 1 year ago, about now, we thought he was going to be okay. He was not okay. And so I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, but I think that is undermined by the fact that we've been down this road before with Darius Leonard. Now, to his credit, he played great last year under the circumstances. He was never 100%. He was never close to 100%. And he found a way to week after week after week impact the game. I've never seen a player with such a nose for the football just in every situation. But just imagine what he could be if he had two good ankles. And so, and now, you know, with the back issue, if he didn't have any of these injury issues. So I think, and it leads me to another point. I think if this team wants to go where they think they can go, they think they can be a contender, we'll see. But for that to happen, a lot of things have to fall into place. And one of them is their defense has to play at an elite level. And I don't think they can do that without Darius Leonard being elite.
Especially when they're facing the AFC West with Justin Herbert, Derek Carr, Patrick Mahomes, and also Russell Wilson. Hey, Holder, in a non-Colts question, you come on ESPN, made the announcement earlier this week. Outside of the Colts, what else can we expect out of you? What type of coverage would you? What else would you be covering here at ESPN?
Yeah, well, I've over the past year before coming to ESPN, really started expanding to covering topics in the rest of the league too. And I'm just kind of really interested in different trends around the league and, you know, what teams are doing from an analytics perspective, what they're doing in terms of hiring and trends among offenses and defenses and things of that nature, and just any sort of interesting occurrences that pop up based on news around the league. So player movement, all that sort of thing interests me. So I'll be looking at sort of the storylines there and maybe how some of the stories from individual teams, how they pertain to the league as a whole as well. So that's kind of, I guess, my sweet spot.
All right, Stephen, we appreciate it, man. Seriously, and obviously you have the blessing of Mike Wells, which is good enough for anybody, but we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
So we've heard from our Colts reporter, but we're going to hear from Mike and I as well. So I am the least qualified to weigh in on the Colts. But hey, but I still have opinions. I still have opinions on an offense led by Matt Ryan and high expectations therein and how misguided that might be. So much more on our takes here on the Colts in 2022. It's Mike Wells and Randy Scott in for the guys on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio in the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Mike Wells in Indianapolis. I'm Randy Scott here in Bristol, Connecticut. We're brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. You can try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with nationwide 5G on America's best networks. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable service required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. We were talking with Stephen Holder, who now covers the Colts here at ESPN, and that's going to take a little bit of getting used to. Just a little bit of... you know, just over a few reps there saying his name with that following it, because for so long it's been your beat, Mike. So you heard what Steven had to say, and take the friendship out of it. All right. You're friends with Steven. We get it. You're popular. You have friends. We understand. What are your, like, when you look at this Colts team, I mean, in your opinion, were they just a quarterback away? Is Matt Ryan the, not only the difference, but the savior?
See, that's where I disagree with Holder. Yes, Matt Ryan is an upgrade over Carson Wentz. But my question is, who in the world is Matt Ryan going to throw the football to? I like to ask this question yes. to those who are not, you know, who don't maybe don't follow him closely, aren't the fans. Can you name a wide receiver on the Colts roster, Randy, not named Michael Pittman Jr.?
Yes, Austin Colley. Austin Colley on the Indianapolis on the Indianapolis Colts. No. I've got yeah. You said a wide receiver. Is that what you said?
Yeah, not named Michael Pittman Jr.
Anthony Gonzalez. Nailed it.
Woo,
next question.
Yes,
no, man, it's tough. You're right. It's, yeah. You know, Michael Pittman Jr. is the guy, and, you know, there's still – sort of banking on him taking another step in his continued NFL development. But beyond that, it's a lot of young, unproven talent.
Yeah, there is. I mean, T.Y. Hilton, a veteran, a longtime veteran with the Colts, is a free agent. The Colts haven't officially shut the door on him, but they're not rushing to re-sign him. You know, they did not address the wide receiver spot during free agency. They passed on, you know, some of the names that are out there because they believe their young receivers can step up. They're hoping that Paris Campbell, the speedster at Ohio State, can, you know, finally, you know, reach his potential. But it's hard to reach your potential when you're always having medical procedures done. I mean, in three seasons, Campbell has yet to play a full season in 3 years. He has only played 15 games in the first 3 years of his NFL career because he's been constantly injured. Yes, the Colts have upgraded the quarterback spot. They do have, you know, one of the top two running backs in the NFL and Jonathan Taylor. But if Matt Ryan doesn't have anybody he can throw the ball to, it's going to be tough for them to get down the field in those second or third and long situations. They also lost their number one tight end in Jack Doyle, who retired.
Right.
They lost two offensive linemen. So there's so many questions about this Colts team that I do believe they're the favorites to win the AFC South after A.J. Brown was traded from Tennessee to the Philadelphia Eagles, but it's far from a lock. If you said you got to pick between Frank Reich and Mike Vrabel as your head coach, I'm rolling with Mike Vrabel, who, you know, his coaching style is we're going to put on a pair of Timberland boots, some jeans, put the hard hat on, and we're going to punch you in the mouth. I love that kind of coaching style. And as I alluded to, the Colts are playing the AFC West this season, the best division in the NFL from top to bottom.
Yep.
So it's going to be tougher than to win the games. They're coming out your way to face Mac Jones and the New England Patriots.
Right.
So there's question marks there.
No, the schedule doesn't do them any favors at all. I know that AFC West division up and down because of my Raiders fandom, and I'm not excited about having to play a division schedule out there. I can't imagine what the Colts are looking at, because just going against the Raiders, you go against Max Crosby and Chandler Jones, and you have question marks not just at right tackle, but you have question marks, or rather at right guard. You have question marks at left tackle. For a 37, I forget, man. I don't know. I mean, I'm new to this whole football thing. Is left tackle important when you have a 37-year-old quarterback who has never who has never fleet of foot? I mean, you know. Listen, Matt Ryan does have a all world caliber running back that he can tuck the football into his stomach and Jonathan Taylor, and that's fine. But how's the cupboard beyond Taylor, and who blocks for him? All right, because the players involved in this thing. You know, the talent is there if given room. The offensive line is big. And, oh, by the way, you have questions on the defensive line as well. So you're right. To me, you know, Jacksonville is still maybe a couple steps away. Okay. The Texans are the Texans. They're going to win four games, maybe, on the strength of Davis Mills and Davis Mills' neck. All right. It's a two-horse race. It's the Colts and it's the Titans. And I'd probably go with, like you said, my Mike Vrabel coach team right now. Because, you know, the slight against Matt Ryan is the pieces aren't there around him. I think if he's given time and someone to throw to, I think he'd be great. I think that defense, the secondary is strong. I think the linebacker group is strong if it's healthy. But you know, you got to keep Matt Ryan upright and you got to give him someone to throw to. And I don't know that they can, you know, reliably, consistently check either one of those boxes right now.
Yeah, so it's going to be a struggle for the Colts. I mean, they have a chance, but all the pieces have to fall in place. They have to be able to get off to a strong start where, you know, they haven't won in Jacksonville since some guy named Andrew Luck was their starting quarterback nearly 10 years ago. And we're talking about the woeful Jacksonville Jaguars, and they get to go there in week two. Luckily, you know, they get the Texans and Jaguars, the two bottom teams in the division the first 2 weeks of the season. So they have an opportunity to get off to a strong start. But until I've watched the revolving door quarterback between Jacoby Brissett, Philip Rivers, Carson Wentz over the past couple seasons since Andrew Luck retired, I'm not buying any hype at the quarterback spot until I see it on the football field when you're facing an opponent. Not when you're going when you're in shells and just pads up top. I'm not believing that whole 7-on-7 stuff.
All right. So, you know, you talked about the schedule, talked about the talent, maybe the holes. Over under in Las Vegas, Caesars Sportsbook has them at 9.5 wins. You going over or under?
I'm going slightly over 10-7. 10-7. And listen, win the division and you get in the playoffs.
All right.
You're not going to make a run, though.
I'll go over as well. I'll go 10 wins. I'm with you on that. We're going to ride together on that. It's Mike Wells, Randy Scott, in for the guys, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. Let's get to college football here. The conversation's been hot regarding realignment, and it's really predating USC and UCLA. We're going to talk about the Big 12 departure, the SEC gain, as we'll take you to Big 12 Media Days, where a clarification was attempted on the horns down symbol. But was it clarifying anything at all? It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Tiger Woods has given... Okay, so last updated you on Tiger. Why don't we say that? He was at 6 over par. A couple of double bogeys on his front 9. Got a birdie on 9 to get back to 5. Got another birdie to get to 4. And then he gave one back on 11. Had a 6 iron on a par 3. I mean, listen, these par 3s are brutal. Have you seen some of these pot bunkers? Wells, are you able to see any of this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've been watching nonstop. And... it's hard enough for me to get out of a regular bunker, and trying to hit out of a pot bunker where basically the top of the bunker is I'm eye level at.
Yeah,
there's no chance. Did you see the clip of Justin Thomas the other day in the practice round where he tried to hit out of it and it just came right back to him, so he grabbed it and threw it out into the out onto the course.
I didn't see that. No, I've been seeing people absolutely flaming him for his outfits though. His wardrobe choice has been beaten up.
Looked like he got a pair of Lululemon sweats on today on the course and with the nice golf shoes. But, you know, when you're a millionaire and you're one of the top golfers in the world, you're able to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you look at Tiger, I mean, no matter how good or bad Tiger is, all eyes are going to be on him.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to pay attention to what he does. I mean, I kind of cringed off the first hole where he had, you know, used one of his long irons, got in the middle of the fairway, but the ball unfortunately landed right in the middle of a divot, and his second shot lands in the creek in front of the first hole.
Right,
and then he has a great chip up there and has a makeable bogey putt, but misses that. You're like, oh my god, it's gonna be one of these days for Tiger. But that didn't stop me from watching because his first name's Tiger, last name Woods. And he's just that gravitating onto the course. It'll probably be tough for him to make the cut this weekend. But a year and a half ago, people were wondering if Tiger Woods would ever play golf again.
Yes.
after that car accident out there in California.
Yeah, it really is just, it feels like bonus. It feels like just an absolute bonus to get to see him on a major stage playing golf, being upright, being somewhat healthy. The gait is certainly affected. It's Mike Wells and Randy Scott in for Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. He's not walking like he used to, but none of us are. None of us are, man. On the wrong side of 40, you're not walking like you did when you were in your 20s. And the fact that he's out there is tremendous. The fact that he's 5 over right now is not. We'll see if he's able to take a few more home here on the back 9. But it is a fascinating watch because he still commands the crowds, commands the gallery, and certainly commands our attention as well. The attention to college football is very much on the Big 12 Media Days. More on that as Barton Hahn continues on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Barton Hahn. ESPN Radio. No, sorry. We shouldn't do that. Don't do that. That's fine. All right. ESPN app. SiriusXM. Channel 80. And on your smart speaker, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Wells in Indianapolis. Randy Scott here in Bristol, Connecticut, and for the guys. The college football world, Mike. I mean, you and I have had a chance to talk a little bit about the UCLA-USC move going to the Big Ten. Some of the just procedural, logistic, like... where you see Rutgers face off against UCLA, you know, with the noon kick in Piscataway one year. You know, I mean, it's just some of it's going to take some getting used to be sure. But let's not lose track of the most recent domino, like the domino before this. All right, it wasn't the Big East effectively dissolving, the one that we grew up with regard to college basketball, but it was the Big 12 losing Texas and Oklahoma and those two programs leaving for the SEC. As late as 2025, possibly before that, if they can get some of the TV deal money worked out. But that was the first one to fall. And we were reminded of it because UCLA and USC, that move was so massive, Mike. But we were reminded of the Big 12 loss because now Big 12's having its media days in Arlington. So they're at Jerry World, and they've got, you know, it's kind of like that... I mean, it's kind of like inviting a divorced couple over to your house party, right? Like, you don't know if they can be in the same room with everybody else. Then here they are, Texas and Oklahoma at Big 12 Media Days. And leave it to Oklahoma State head coach Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State at least for now, still very much a member of the Big 12, but leave it to Mike Gundy to sort of go unfiltered when speaking about those two impending departures. Here's Heather Dinich with more on that.
When Gundy left the main stage, he held court with reporters off to the side and was obviously asked about OU Texas leaving, and he talked about them still being in the meetings, their athletic directors. They're in the Big 12, they're in the Big 12 meetings, and he said, if I was the new commissioner, I wouldn't let them in the room. And of course he said he was joking, but he also said he's kind of concerned they leave the room and write down things that are happening in that meeting and go tell the SEC. He said, if I owned a cell phone company, I wouldn't want another cell phone company in our meetings either. And so there were those comments that had reporters laughing, but there was also the comment about Bedlam, and he said he knows fans would like to see that series continue, but the bottom line is with those teams in different conferences, it's just not feasible for that rivalry to continue, especially with their conference schedules mapped out so far in advance.
That part I don't love. All right, my first TV job was out there in Lawton, Oklahoma, and was there for, you know, Adrian Peterson's freshman year at OU, and I got indoctrinated into then, you know, Les Miles was coaching Oklahoma State, so I got indoctrinated into Bedlam and indoctrinated into the Red River Shootout back then. It's what it was called. I got, you know, indoctrinated into the Dallas Fairgrounds, the Texas State Fairgrounds, all of it. I mean, and there are going to be, you know, Texas and OU will stick around, but OU and Oak State, it's gone by the wayside, at least for the foreseeable future. So there is a non-monetary cost to some of this. But I think whether he's joking or not, and he did kind of have to take a baby step back, did Mike Gundy, but I think he's got a point, Mike. If you're running a, if that's what college football is now, which is very much a business, and you therefore have to view these defecting schools as competitors, why do you want them in your future planning meetings?
No, you're 100% correct on that. And I listen, anybody who has listened to Mike Gundy talk, he has no filter, so he can say he was joking, Randy. But we know he's serious about it. You know, this is what I compare it to. The Washington Post did a story on Adam Schefter, you know, the NFL's king insider earlier this week. And part of the story was, once it was clear Schefter was not going to re-sign with his employer at the time, that employer took everything away, took his contacts, locked him out the building, had nothing to do with him, and Schefter had to wait until he started, you know, coming to ESPN and dominating in Bristol.
Okay.
That's what the Big 12 should do. Hey, Texas, Oklahoma, you guys decide to go to the SEC. You don't want to be with us anymore. You don't need to know part of any of our planning going into the future, especially in the years once the Longhorns and the Sooners are going toe-to-toe trying to compete with the Alabamas and the LSUs and the Georgias. I wouldn't have them part of it. You can't have part of it. Listen, you go to a competitor, Randy. You think your bosses are going to be let you be part of the planning meeting for SportsCenter going forward?
No, that's what happens. And, you know, I'm not an insider like Adam Schefter, but what does happen in our business is if there is a separation or a, you know, a parting of ways, you know, somebody usually gets, and this is not an ESPN thing, this is anywhere, but you get walked out to your car, you know what I mean? Like you get sort of you know, thanks for your service and whatever else. It can be a great relationship, but we see people come back all the time. Not just here, but other places. You know, you don't burn the bridges, right? This isn't 90210 where, who played Luke? Who was the guy who was clearly 40 years old in 90210? Who was, Priestley, the other guy.
Oh my God.
I think he passed away. Did he pass away?
That's his name, Luke.
Was it Luke? All right.
Yes.
Luke Perry. So you don't see Luke Perry saying, hey, let the bridges I burn light my way home. You know what I mean? That's not what this is. Like, But in this business, it's if you're done, you're done. Then you go on to your next job, and that's what it is. And that's how we have to view college football, to belabor the point and sort of close the loop on it. Oklahoma and Texas are competitors. College football is a business, and they are competitors who are still allowed to attend meetings in their soon-to-be former conference. And it was Brett Yormark, it was still Coach Gundy, I'm sorry, who said, we go to conference meetings, and OU and Texas are in there, they're still in the conference, but I'm guessing when they leave, they're scratching down things that can help them when they're in the SEC. So it's an unusual situation. When I read that the first time, because again, there's no sound of it. It was just sort of a side media session for Mike Gundy, who, you know, hasn't met too many sound bites that he doesn't like to give, right? So,
yeah, exactly.
But he's over there. And when I first read that, I read that as like, you're in a dying business, a business that's about to go under, and you're ripping like copper wire out of the walls. Like you're not just, and I'm not saying I've done this. I'm just saying like as a hypothetical that you're scratching things down. That's what I took it as. But instead, he's probably been just writing down notes, little trade secrets. But for his credit, and this is in an unenviable position here for new Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark, who was telling again ESPN's Heather Dinich, like, okay, listen, losing Texas and Oklahoma, there's no equivalent replacement out there.
No.
But what do? You can't just stand pat. He said, I think it's fluid. No one knows, but we're engaged in conversations daily with all the key stakeholders. And at the right time, when something makes sense, we'll do it. He goes, we are open for business. And optionality is good. It's one thing to be open for business, Mike. It's another thing to have customers, right?
Yeah. I mean, you got to say, what schools are going to say, yeah, I want to get into the Big 12. Ideally, they say, hey, let me join the Big 10. Let me join the SEC.
Yeah.
And those are the varsity conferences of college sports.
If you're breaking down NFL head coaches into tiers, Sean Payton very much of the varsity variety. There might be another team besides the Cowboys to keep an eye on. More on that, Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.